the system.
Live from the Next Gen Male Medical Clinic Zone Studios, it's the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone, The Zone app, and 1620thezone.com. Here is Gary Sharp.
And a good Tuesday morning, everyone, on a Tuesday from Dayton, Ohio. The Omaha men's basketball team start of a 4,037-mile trip. Four time zones, two games in less than 48 hours. The Mavs are in Dayton, Ohio, beautiful community. They love their basketball here. It's home of the first four tonight. Omaha and Dayton over on 1180 Zone 2. The Deuce will have the game for you. 5:30 pregame. Tip-off is a little after 6 with Jordy Shimanga sitting on the Dayton bench. He's injured. He's been out since October. And TV Teddy, Teddy Valentine, is one of the refs working the game. Welcome in. Big thanks, Matt Stein, sitting in for George today. George is on the recuperation plan. He said his arm is really, really heavy. He had surgery on his broken elbow, if you do not know by now. So George is slowly making his way back. So Matt is in today. Just like I did with Ben the other day, I'm the interim host of the Gary Sharp Show with all of our travel. Big thanks to Matt Verzal, by the way. Matt, you can chime in whenever you want. Ben had some scorching hot takes prior to the Wisconsin game on Friday. I expect you will have some scorching hot takes post-Wisconsin, pre-Maryland. But let me give you the lineup for the program today. Good lineup. We're going to cover a lot. We're going to talk some basketball. We'll talk some football, among other things. Mitch Light will join us at 11. The college football playoff rankings, part 3, come out tonight. We'll all be very curious to see what happens with Alabama, where the Tide fall. What also happens with the Big 12. Those are two things that I'll watch very closely. So Mitch Light is in at 11. Brody Darren will join us at 11:30. The former Creighton hoopster, who you also hear periodically with John on the broadcast. Creighton is off until Friday, and they take on Cal Poly. But in a very entertaining game on Saturday at the Chai, they defeated Louisiana Tech. So Brody will, now that we're in the basketball season, will become a regular as part of our Tuesday lineup. Andy Kendi in at 12:30. Robin Washut at 1. Talk some Nebraska basketball. The Huskers are off their first victory. We'll, of course, get into football. It's defensive day down in Lincoln, so we'll have some nuggets coming out of post-practice here momentarily. And then Tom Chattel is in at 1:20 earlier today. And this is good. I'm glad we have Tom on Tuesdays, because Tom writes his very fun. He can have some scattered thoughts, and he can touch on a couple of different things instead of writing a column on one subject or one topic. So on Tuesdays, Tom does his, I'll call them scatter shots, and then he joins us and we kind of throw around some of the things that he threw out this morning in the Omaha World Herald. And he talked to Bill Moose on Saturday with Notre Dame's long sellout streak coming to an end. He talked to Bill Moose, and Moose saying essentially they'll do whatever they can to maintain the sellout streak, which is at 374, which is a tribute to the fans. We discussed this on Friday, if you knew off the top of your head what the sellout streak was, what it meant for you. We sometimes take it for granted that it has reached 374, in how the demographics and how we consume college football has changed around the country with the lone show in town. People still keep buying tickets to Memorial Stadium. They buy tickets, and they go. Sometimes they don't, but they buy tickets. And that will, and I've said this, I don't think that streak will ever end. I think there will be people that will go out of the way to make sure that that streak continues. And essentially, that's been one of those unknown, those, oh, don't say anything about it, but it's true. You remember the whole county scholarship thing, which was not true, but which blew up around the country when people talked about Nebraska basketball? We've always talked about, man, okay, so if they have trouble, if they have like 3,000 tickets left over, some big banker in Lincoln is going to buy up all the tickets and give it to the kids. Yeah, that kind of happens in some sense. But I don't think that's a streak that will ever end. But let's look at if that, and you can say, well, 374, the seats are not full. Well, it's tickets sold. But as the stadium gets younger, and there's kind of a turnover in the next decade, and a turnover in terms of the capacity of the stadium, if that streak is still alive, in, let's say, a decade from now, wow. Now, that would be something. That would be something. But Tom Chattel is coming up at about 1:20 to dive into that. I don't know how much Michael and Damon talked about the Viva Los Chiefs last night and their win over the L.A. Chargers. I don't know, in football nowadays, and especially in the NFL, coaches and players will tell you there's no such thing as an ugly win, that a win is a win, and if you need a win and you go get a win, that's even better. And that's what happened last night with the Chiefs, who got a victory over the Chargers, where in the first half, the Chargers, they wasted chances early, and then they made mistakes late, including Phillip Rivers' fourth interception at the end of the game, and the Chiefs kind of got in their own way as well. Injuries continue to mount up. They're not the Super Bowl team that we thought at the beginning of the year, and now they've fallen behind the hierarchy in the AFC, which has Baltimore at the top and New England sitting right there, and New England maybe just gearing up for another January of Patriot football. But when it comes to the AFC West, Andy Reid dominates. He has completely dominated the West, and when he has lost games, it seems like they're in the last seconds, i.e. the Charger win at Arrowhead last year. But the Chiefs needed their defense to play well because their offense with injuries and Tyreek Hill not on the field and Patrick Mahomes not having as much success as he normally does. They got defensive stops, and the Chiefs won that game, and they go into their bye week, which is much needed, especially for the quarterback. They are a half game up on Oakland. But the bigger story might be out of the game in Mexico last night. Actually, two stories. One, we just got done talking in the crossover, which, you know, there's great discussion points in there. And we talked about baseball growing the game. And you watch that game last night from Mexico, and you look at the turf. I can't imagine. I mean, we saw pictures last year when they had to move the Rams-Chiefs game out of Mexico because of how bad the playing surface was. And then you look at last night and see how bad the playing surface was. You think, geez, last year had to be at the bottom of the barrel in terms of playing surfaces. And that was not a good playing surface last night. And all I could think about was my franchise quarterback, my Mahomes, getting hurt and that he would be done. It was a great atmosphere. They love American football. It's a way to grow the game. And it's not going away in London, not going away in Mexico, and now with the discussion of moving to a 17-game season and pushing the Super Bowl back towards the end of February, which is a sports talk dream because you won't have that dead period between the end of the Super Bowl and March Madness. You get a few more weeks of NFL football. But you are in Mexico. You have a great atmosphere. There are people in the stands that are selling cups of noodles for $2.55. That's American money. I don't know if they come with seasoning or if they're just cups of noodles, but they were selling them last night for $2.55. They love the football there. They turned out. They love the Chargers. Why not? They probably had more support for the Chargers last night in Mexico than the Chargers get in Los Angeles. Maybe more than they got towards the tail end in San Diego when the fans were fed up with the Spanoses. But last night, the people turned out, and they loved the Chargers, and they loved the football, and it was a great atmosphere, and it looked good on TV despite Booger McFarland. But the field was atrocious. And if they're going to continue to play games there, why not field turf? Why not eliminate what has become a storyline when you play in Mexico, and that is the divots that come up? And me watching the game, thinking the entire time, oh, God, Patrick Mahomes, don't get hurt. Do not try and plant your leg and it goes out and a divot flies up and your knee goes out. That's all I could think about last night watching that game. Well, among other things. But as this continues to develop and they play games internationally, and we talk about growing the game. I mentioned that a lot with my time in baseball about how you grow the game at the grassroots level, whether it be major leaguers putting on clinics in city parks in areas that don't have access to get to a major league game, whether you have minor league teams where people can see the stars of tomorrow, whether they are a couple of levels away from the majors, whether they're one level away from the majors. How do you grow the game? And we talk about in football, how do you grow the game? And the growth of the game sometimes has been stunted by people not happy with stuff that happens on the field, the quality of play, or concussions. And people say, not playing. not going to play tackle football. But if you're looking to grow the game, and you're growing the game internationally, and you like going into London, England, Mexico, you're now talking about going to Germany, where they love the World Football League. You're talking about going to Brazil. What about go one step further and growing the game, and growing the game from the standpoint of access to it? What about playing a regular season, and if you're going to expand to 17, which it seems like they are, what about playing a regular season NFL game in some of these college football stadium cathedrals? And we've seen it for a while during exhibition season, not as much anymore. But why not we give our great game to other countries to watch, and usually it's a bad game. Bad games in England. Last night, on the schedule when it was made, that looked like a really good game. But why not South Bend, Lincoln, Tuscaloosa, places that are cathedrals to college football? What about playing an NFL regular season game there? Instead of taking it to making every team play one international game when you expand to 17, why not play it in a college stadium? That would be unique. You think it's unique to go to Azteca and play where they played last night, and you have all those fans there and the atmosphere? Yeah. But could you get that same kind of an atmosphere if you take the NFL game, a regular season NFL game, to a well-known college stadium? Just food for thought if you're thinking about growing the game. All right, we're looking to grow all of you. Mitch Light's coming up at the top of the hour. A dive into what will happen tonight with the college football playoff rankings, part three. The discussion about LSU morphing into Oklahoma when it comes to their defense. And more on Nick Saban's relationship with Tua, who his family put out a very classy statement. It's almost like one individual at Alabama may have gotten you to root for Alabama, root for the good guys at Alabama. And that guy's a quarterback. And that guy may have single-handedly changed the perception a little bit of Nick Saban. If you hate Nick Saban, you're never changing. You think that that was the worst thing that happened, that he let Tua get injured on Saturday at Mississippi State. You'll never change. You hate the guy. He is dead to you, and anything that he does will never be in a positive light. But the quarterback, whose career looks like it's done at Alabama, may have single-handedly changed people's perceptions of Alabama, and a head coach who, in the last couple of years, with the success of Tua and Alabama winning a championship under Tua, may have gotten Nick Saban to show a different side. And he went a step further yesterday when he was talking about his relationship with his quarterback who was undergoing surgery in Houston, and he said, there are only 4 to 5 guys that I have coached that I would actually say I love those guys as people. And he said Tua was one of those. Man, Nick Saban said love out loud about one of his players, and that one player may have helped change the perception to some of Nick Saban. So all that's come with Mitch Light. He's coming up at the top of the hour. Brody Darren in the next hour will dive into some Creighton basketball as they're coming off their win over Louisiana Tech a week last week that saw them go to Ann Arbor and then win a key game at home. That was a good game on Saturday night. So we'll talk a lot of basketball today. We'll do some football as well. Stuff coming out from Lincoln on a defensive day ahead of Maryland. And we will also chat a little bit about what is going on with the Houston Astros, because there is more that continues to come out, and a scandal in Major League Baseball that is just starting, that some are saying, be careful what you wish for, because if you investigate this, you may open up more scandals around Major League Baseball when it comes to cheating, that it is, you know, spreading your investigation real, real wide. That's all still to come. We are in Dayton. Split show today. I'm Gary Sharp on the Gary Sharp Show. Matt Stein is pushing the buttons, spinning the dials on a Tuesday on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com.